Session 105, part 1 of the Law of One. Let's begin this session talking about healing, cleansing, and messages. Let's begin. This is the second to last session, and as we know, we're going to cover mostly personal material, but unbeknownst to me, there is a part where they discuss some really interesting information about third density and the function of the body itself in third density, as well as other densities, but we're going to leave that for the second part of this session. We're just going to try to cover as much personal material as possible and hopefully get to the end where there is a question about the synchronicity of the hawk again that Don is talking about. So let's get to that question. We can definitely get into that. The rest of the session, or the majority of this session, is regarding personal material and, you know, their healing, cleansing of the new place they're going to move in, and that final question about messages that we get from the environment, synchronicities basically. So I have nothing to add, but just maybe say that I think this was the last session they did in the house, where they did 105 sessions, and the last session, session 106, is going to be in the new house. And it's the last one, of course. So, yes, they're going through the process of moving. Maybe also mention in this introduction to go read the commentary by Jim and Carla in Book 5, or actually in thelawofone.info, where you can read in Session 105 the beginning of the session with their commentary. So that's always helpful. Jim and Carla talk about the moving aspect and their physical condition and so on. So yeah, it's always helpful to go read that. Other than that, let's begin with the first question that I always cover. Here's Don saying, as usual, could you first please give me the condition of the instrument? Ra says, the vital energies of this instrument are in much more biased state than the previous asking, with the faculties of will and faith having regained their prominent place in this entity's existence and balance. The physical deficit continues. So it's a recap of what we know so far, with a little change in vital energies and the focusing of will and faith back to where it was. Just a small commentary here saying that, of course, her physical energy and state was still pretty deficient. We know this to be the case for years, even after the raw contact, and Carla just had a frail body her whole life. But the two interesting points here is that the vital energies where it seems, if I read it right, sometimes I get confused with this, to be honest, but they are in much more biased state than previous asking, so favorable, I guess. And the faculties of will and faith, this is something that Carla had been dealing with, as she didn't have enough energy and she wanted to help around the house and help with the people that came for questions and wanting to learn how to channel and maybe other assistance, just, you know, Carla being a friend to people. So she had to deal with not being able to do all this stuff and still be in harmony and happy with her life. It seems like a nonsense, but it's a tough state, you know, to stop the momentum that we have and, you know, just remain at rest. But Carla was doing great in this respect at this point. So Ross mentioning that. Don says in question 2, sorry that we have to ask so many maintenance questions. We seem to be in a confused condition now with respect to our abilities to continue in the direction we wish 2. With questioning on the archetypical mind, I feel it necessary to ask what the cause of the symmetrical welts on the instrument's back is, and is there anything further that we can do to heal the instrument of any conditions, including these welts or their cause? Ra says, the welting is a symptom of that which has been a prolonged psychic greeting. The opportunity for this entity to experience massive allergic reactions from streptococcal and staphylococcal viruses has been offered in hopes that this entity would wish to leave the incarnation. There is an asterisk there in viruses because they're supposed to be bacteria. We know that streptococcus is a not a virus, but bacteria. So Ra didn't read biology pretty well. So in the entity, I'll comment on this. The previous occurrence of this state of the mind complex occurring upon in your time numbering system, the 9th month, the 12th day of your present planetary solar revolution, caught your fifth density companion unprepared. This entity is now prepared. So the welting, which I think either Jim or Carla mentioned it in the commentary. I think it's Jim. I think he noticed it when he was going to give her a massage, that she had some welting or welts in her back, and they wanted to know what that was all about. Ra said that this is the product of prolonged psychic greeting, which we know had been occurring with the fifth density negative entity, taking any opportunity in her body conditions to exacerbate this, and this was happening in the hopes that she would die, basically. So it doesn't, I know it sounds like very dramatic, but all conditions in our bodies are, we can call it, I have a tendency to see things not as sensationalist as they sound. So forgive me if this is not your view or your preference to view things, but I see all these, for example, when we talk about astral entities and lower energy vibrations and all these things, it's a dynamic, like I have said. You know, there is a push to life and then there is a pull to death. You see, so these two, they're not in conflict, they're just working harmoniously. And it really depends on the conscious being to want to, and it's not even up to the conscious being, but what's coming through the conscious being that decides to go one way or the other. In other words, it's obviously okay to live, everybody wants to live, but not much is said about wanting to die. It's okay to die as well. We can definitely be okay with that, right? And in fact, we can actually be in harmony with that, you see? So in this case, we're allowing that to happen. And I think a lot of this is said in a way that we can understand it this way. Dying is okay. In fact, at the end of this session, we'll talk about the physical body in part 2, not the end of this episode. But the next part, we're going to talk about the physical body here in third density, and its function is, in essence, giving the opportunity for growth, and that growth eventually, I mean, not the physical body, the growth happens in the ever-lasting soul, we can call it. But the body's purpose at the end is to die, to be discarded. And yes, so yeah, you know, these situations were presented as an opportunity for Carla to decide, okay, I'm allowing my body to die, I'm done. And that was the intention of the negative entity, to allow this to happen so no more of this channeling or her service could be provided. Okay, so then they just go to describe that the previous time where she had the state was, I think it was the 12th of November and of the year 1983. This session, by the way, was recorded in October. And at that time, the fifth density negative entity was not prepared, but now it is. That's it. Moving on. Ross says there have been two instances wherein this entity could have started the reaction since the first opportunity was missed. Firstly, the opportunity to separate self from other self in connection with the choosing of an house. Secondly, the possible vision of self separated from other self in regard to the dissolving of mundane bonds concerning the leaving of this dwelling. Both opportunities were met by this entity with a refusal to separate self from other self, with further work also upon the indigo ray level concerning the avoidance of martyrdom while maintaining unity in love. So they're describing, in essence, the current state of their life. Don and Carla particularly, I think this is what's all concentrated on. So there were a couple of opportunities in which, right, wherein this entity could have started the reaction since the first opportunity was missed. The first opportunity being that one, September 12th, as it seems. And they had been dealing with this move and renting the new house and I guess packing, and it's a lot of trouble that we have to go through to move. And so Ross says that there was an opportunity where there was the choosing of separating herself from Don, I guess. And then there was another opportunity of, so not only physical, I think it is, but mentally, the second opportunity being the dissolving of mundane bonds concerning the leaving of this dwelling. So I guess in that move, the possibility of them dissolving some of their activities together, that's what I see here. I'm not sure. But both opportunities, regardless of what they were, Carla met these opportunities with a refusal to separate herself from Don. So moving always in favor of, I'm here for you, basically. And this also with further work in the indigo ray, which always is the view of unity, of accepting reality as it is, or just simply being with reality. Don't resist reality. And in this case, the avoidance of martyrdom, which is going in a way against something that you desire, you see, in this case, her well-being. So yes, maintaining her focus in unity and love. Let's continue. This is, I think, the longest answer we have. Ross says, thusly, this instrument has had its immunal defenses breach and its lymphatic system involved in the invasion of this viri, which, again, I think is bacteria. You may see some merit in a purging of the instrument's yellow ray chemical body in order to more quickly aid the weakened body complex in its attempt to remove these substances. Techniques include therapeutic enemas, or enemas, I'm not sure how to pronounce that word, or colonics, the sauna once or twice in a day, and the use of vigorous rubbing of the integument for the period of approximately 7 of your diurnal periods. So these are all the recommendations. By the way, I may pronounce things a little funny because English is my second language, as you may know already. So yeah, I'm not sure if it's enemas or enemas or in. English is funny, you know, it gives you words like benign, right? Benign, something that is benign. And we're going to read that word in this session. I was looking at it. And then it gives you the word benignal, you know. In fact, benign, you don't pronounce the G. But in benignal, you do. And the I is pronounced different. So you have no idea how to pronounce something until you listen to it. And I don't listen to many of these words. So anyway, these are all recommendations for Carla at the end, and the information about how she got her immune system breach because of the conditions that they explained before. And then they suggest, you know, the enema. I'm going to call it enema. Enema. That's how I would say it in Spanish. So, yeah, some flushing of her intestines and sauna, plus a lot of massage for 7 days, rubbing vigorously for 7 diurnal periods, which Jim had to get to work on. So that's about it. There's only one more part where Ross says, "We speak not of diet, not because it might not aid, but because this entity ingests small quantities of any substance and is already avoiding certain substances, notably fresh milk and oil," which apparently didn't do too good for her because of her allergic reactions. I'm not sure about oil, maybe just the gastrointestinal distress that it causes, because, well, for her, not for us, but for her, she was pretty frail, like I said, in her digestive system. So no mentioning of diet, and just these indications, in the hopes that she can recuperate her physical energy and capabilities. Don is interested, actually, in the massage, and says in question 3, "Is there any particular place the integument should be vigorously rubbed?" And Ra says, "No." So I guess my speculation here is that the massage tends to cause a sort of release of tensions across the whole body. I know this because Julie is extremely sensitive to massage, in the sense that, not ticklish, but in the way that she can relax completely by, in essence, just the massaging of any part of her body, her head particularly. So there are a lot of sensory receptors, I guess, that some people have sensitive, and this produces a flush and a complete washing of the nervous system. And so that's why I think there is no particular place. It's just this relaxing. That's why we go get a massage, right? Because it's very relaxing. So this helps a lot. My 2 cents there. Question 4. Don says, "Could you please tell me what caused Jim's kidney problem to return and what could be done to heal it?" So Jim was also sick, had some renal issues himself. Ross says, "The entity, Jim, determined that it would cleanse itself and thus would spend time, space, and space-time in pursuit and contemplation of perfection. The dedication to this working was intensified until the mind-body-spirit complex rang in harmony with this intention. The entity did not grasp the literal way in which metaphysical intentions are translated by the body complex of one working in utter unity of purpose. The entity began the period of prayer, fasting, penitence, and rejoicing." So, this is interesting. I'm going to draw a parallel here. By no means do I feel or think that my interpretation is really what's happening, but this is what I have, and I'll share it. Just be aware, my disclaimer. So Jim entered this state of, "I want to do some cleansing," psychologically, of course, spiritually, and I guess he didn't consider so much or understood so much the impact in the body. And you see, he started a period of prayer, fasting, and I think here's where there's a strong indication to the body that we're doing something to get rid of something, right? And Ra talked about this in terms of fasting. When you fast and you put the intention that obviously you're getting rid of something psychological, say you're doing it for spiritual purposes, and you put that intention, then the body will resonate with that, and you need to allow also an environment for the body to work with this, depending on how healthy you are, of course. So fasting, just be aware that you shouldn't do it unless you're super healthy. Not super healthy, I shouldn't say that. Just be aware of your health conditions before you fast. Anybody can fast, honestly, but what I'm trying to say is that there are certain conditions that probably not the best idea to start fasting right away. Approach it carefully, I guess. Just, you know, be gentle with fasting. This is just a personal advice. And so, yeah, Jim was going through this process, and the dedication was intensified until his mind-body-spirit complex rang in harmony with the intention. But he didn't understand the implications in the body. Let's see what else they say. Ross says, the body complex, which was not yet fully recovered from the nephrotic syndrome, which is the renal disease or issue that he had, began to systematically cleanse each organ, sending all the detritus that was not perfect through kidneys, which were not given enough liquid to dilute the toxins being released. The toxins stayed in the body, or with the body complex, and reactivated a purely physical illness. There is no metaphysical portion in this relapse. So, really good observation here. I visualize this happening the following way. So, Jim goes through this process of cleansing, fasting, penitence, prayer, and so on. And he's getting rid of some metaphysical, psychological, spiritual obstructions, let's say. As he submits himself to this, the body starts to resonate with this intention. But for what I see, seems very simple. He didn't drink enough water. Remember, your kidneys are filtering a lot of this toxicity that we have in the body. That's their job, that's their purpose. So for them to do this, you have to drink water, yes? Because water is the one that flushes everything out. If you don't drink enough water, then guess what? The body says, okay, I have all the water I need, so I'm just going to recirculate everything that's here, homeostasis, right? But if you're in a state of disease, and in this case, fasting, of course, in a way, you shouldn't overdo it. Always follow whatever guidelines you have from some expert in the topic in terms of fasting, especially for your particular case. But drinking water is a good idea to flush, you know, to flush everything that's coming out as you're fasting, the toxicity in the body. And so, yes, this wasn't followed by Jim, and in essence, the toxins stayed with the body and reactivated a simple, pure physical illness. So there was no metaphysical impact or component to this illness, and it was just the toxins being present in the blood and the cells and everything else, and particularly, well, the kidneys were affected, right? That was the nephrotic syndrome that he was not fully recovered from. So, moral of the story, moral, I'm not sure. All right, the point of the story is drink water. Even if you're not fasting, just drink enough water. That's an indication that we can all agree with. And I should also say, water, not liquids. I know this may sound silly to a lot of you, but some people actually hear liquids, like, yeah, hydrate yourself, and so they drink Gatorade or one of these sports drinks and or juice or whatever. Drink pure water. You have carbohydrates there, you have sugars. Why would you want to put that in the system when you're trying to cleanse yourself? So, yeah, just pure water. Just pure water. No arguments there. Ra finishes this saying, the healing is taking place in manifestation of an affirmation of body complex health, which, bearing untoward circumstance, shall be completely efficacious. So, yeah, in the absence of any inconvenient or unfortunate or troublesome circumstance, the healing will continue to happen, and that's it. There's not much to say there. Let's move to the next question. Don says, is there any consideration of the appropriateness of the house at Lake Lanier, or Lanier, I don't know, which we intend to move to, or especially preparation other than that planned advisable? Ra says, we believe you have queried obliquely. Please re-query. So Don says, we plan to cleanse the property at the Lake Lanier location using the techniques prescribed by Ra in earlier sessions having to do with salt for 36 hours, etc. I would like to know if this is sufficient, or if there is any salient problem with respect to moving to that house that Ra could advise upon at this time, please. So before I dive into this answer, we did, I think, one or two episodes with ritual cleansing, if you're interested in all that stuff. Prior episode, I forget which one it is, but you can look up. It's one of the last ones in the last 10 sessions, for sure. We covered this, ritual cleansing. So there's one particular episode where everything is described. If you're interested, a lot of people found it useful, go check it out. So Don is asking, because they're moving to a new house, not to a new house, but they're finally moving to a house. They tried to do the cleansing on the other one, I think, or they were supposed to, but finally they decided not to. And yeah, so they're moving to this new one, and he's asking, is there anything else that should be done other than what you already suggested? And we, of course, are going to do. So let's hear Ra's update or new indications for this house, this home that they're going to move in. Ra says, the cleansing of the dwelling of which you speak need be only 3 nights and 2 days. So that's a little bit more than 36 hours. This dwelling is benign. The techniques are acceptable. See what I mean with benign? We find 3 areas in which the use of garlic, as previously described, would be beneficial. Firstly, the bunk bedroom, below the top sleeping pallet. Secondly, the exterior of the dwelling facing the road and centering about the small rocks, approximately 2/3 of the length of the dwelling from the driveway side. So let me just cover this paragraph. First, they say that it's going to be a little bit longer, I think, more than 36 hours. 3 nights has to be more than 48 hours, of course. 2 days, 48 hours, and another night, maybe, what's that, 60 hours. The dwelling or the home was benign, so there wasn't some strange happenings in the house itself, like it was in the past, where there were some drug dealers in the house and some shady business and people were going in and out. So that's what required more careful consideration. So yeah, the techniques are acceptable, and they are going to give 3 areas where they can use the garlic. There was a whole deal with the garlic being cut in place in a specific way with a funnel, and all of that is in that episode I mentioned. So first, in one of the bedrooms, second, in the exterior, and we'll find the third place in a second. In this exterior part, it's interesting. Actually, no, the third. I think the second and the third are interesting, because it showed me something that I had to understand better. And now that I do, it makes a lot of sense. And it has to do with that which I said about astral beings and negative energies and all this stuff. So to me, it just enlightens a lot more how these things interact with ourselves. So Ross says, thirdly, there is the matter of the boathouse. We suggest weekly cleansings of that area with garlic, the cut onion, and the walking of a light-filled perimeter. The garlic and onion, renewed weekly, should remain permanently hung, suspended from string or wire between workings. So this is interesting, right? Because I, in my naivete here, I'm not here, but in the past when I read the garlic and, you know, lower astral entities dwelling in the house so they could be cleansed or pushed away by this garlic and so on. I'm sure there is a metaphysical component here, but we're going to find something very curious about the hanging of the garlic and their purpose. Because you see, to me, it would be, you know, not alarming, but quite interesting to see, why do we have to do it weekly? You know, we have to replace this weekly. Why is that? Is there something, you know, inherently wrong with the place? Well, there's something inherently particular to the place, but is it wrong in the sense that, I don't know, it's a sort of vortex for hell that is, just keeps bringing all these negative entities? Well, that's going to be interesting when we see why the use of garlic. Again, this is because of the naivete that I used to think that, of course, you know, if you're cleansing a place, then it must be because there are some these vortices of entities around the house, and they have been called by previous actions, and the people dwelling and maybe inviting these energies and so on, which again, it could be the case, but not all the time. And that's what we're going to find out in the next couple of questions. Maybe it's in this following. So again, interesting point, how to cleanse the place and maintain it for, you know, forever, basically, weekly. Why is that? Don says here, just so I don't make a mistake in interpreting your directions with respect to the second area outside the house, could you give me a distance and magnetic compass heading from, say, the exact center of the dwelling to that position? So Don being thorough, as usual. Ross says, we may only be approximate, but would suggest a distance of 37 feet, a magnetic heading of 84 to 92 degrees. So, fine. Perfection in terms of coordinates, Don being Don. Now we get to another question. Question 8, Don says, I know it's unimportant for our purposes, but from a philosophical point of view, I don't want to do anything to upset the law of confusion. So don't feel that it is necessary to answer this, but I was wondering what the condition was that created the necessity for such continual cleansing of the boathouse. Don, my friend, this is not an unimportant question. I actually love it. I appreciate that you asked this, and I don't even see, you know, how would this be, you know, a law of confusion. You're being suggested to do something. You might as well ask why, you know, and this is the reason I was talking about. Why do we have to cleanse a specific place continuously, whereas before it wasn't suggested? Is there a portal to hell here? No. Ross says, the intent is to create a perimeter within which the apiary denizens will not find it necessary to sting, indeed will not find it promising to inhabit. Don says, are you speaking of bees or wasps or creatures of that type? Ra says, that is so. So, you see, again, I'm just confessing my own innocent view of how things work. And now, can we extrapolate this? Because obviously, you know, the hanging of the garlic is just to maintain, undesired second density beings. For example, I remember when I used to go to the countryside in my country, in Venezuela, I used to see bags of water hanging, you know, on the trees and around the house and stuff. And I'm like, why do they do that? And it's because apparently they scared away flies, like just regular flies, annoying flies. I don't know how that worked, but, you know, folklore, people know this stuff, and you know, something like that, it's totally acceptable. Now, could we say that flies bring, you know, some second density astral beings? Of course they do, because they are bringing disease, or the possibility for disease, and so do any other insects. So bacteria and other things that are, is the word pullulating? No, it's probably Spanish. I'm Spanishizing this, this conversation. Yeah, no, there is there's a breeding, you know, of this undesired, you know, environment. So that's part of cleansing. So I thought it was interesting. I just thought it was very interesting that much of this cleansing has obviously, you know, a counterpart here, just like anything else, you know. So yeah, to me it was very enlightening. To see this, and that was something I appreciated. So now, why do we care to scare away bees and wasps and stuff? Should we all be afraid of them? No, this is very particular to them, because Jim and Carla were allergic to the bite, especially Carla, I would say, with her conditions. So yeah, it was a particular recommendation for them. I live in the forest. I have wasps of all kinds flying around. They're not very pleasant to be around, at least not me, because, you know, there's always the, I always see them as a knife with poison at the tip flying around me. So yes, I don't mind being around them, but sometimes, yeah, especially when they're hovering around you, and like, I don't know, I haven't been able to be at peace with them. But I'm not allergic to them, so I'm fine. Even if they bite me, it's okay. And I have been not bitten, but stung, I guess is the word. In any case, let's move to some other part of this personal material. And it has to do with the house that they're leaving. Don says, are Jim's plans and ritual for deconsecrating this dwelling sufficient, or should something be added or changed? Ra says, no change is necessary. The points necessary to be included in consecration or deconsecration of a place are covered. We may suggest that each second density woody plant, which you have invested during your tenancy within this dwelling, be thanked and blessed. That's beautiful. I love that. So the question is plans and rituals for the consecration of the place, which is something that I think Ra suggested when they move, is to, in essence, just deconsecrate the place. That means just a place of gathering, or where work has been done spiritually and has been consecrated, you know, for that work. It must be deconsecrated when you leave, I guess, as a way of dismantling, you know, the preparations that were there. I'm not sure how this works metaphysically, but it's something that is done, and not only here but in other places and other traditions. Again, I'm not too knowledgeable about this process, but they certainly did it. And also they suggest, which I think it's more beautiful than anything else, is just to thank every plant and tree that was there. It's impossible not to make a connection with them. I've moved, my last move was from my house where I lived 7 years. As it seems to be the case, I'm always gravitating toward 7 years of dwelling in a place. In any case, we had this strong connection with the trees and everything else around the house. I mean, we lived with them. Some of them provided some fruits to us. And so, yeah, you kind of make a bond. It's just saying goodbye to them, so, and blessing them. I think it's a nice gesture. So I appreciate Ra mentioning that. Okay, we're going to cover two more questions here. Don says in question 11, is there any other suggestion that Ra could make with respect to any part of this move that is planned? And will we have any problems at all in contacting Ra in the new dwelling? And if so, would Ra tell us about those and what we could do to alleviate any problems in contacting Ra in the new location? Ra says, we weigh this answer carefully, for it comes close to abrogation of free will, but find the proximity acceptable due to this instrument's determination to be of service to the one infinite creator, regardless of personal circumstance. So, in essence, we consider this carefully, and although we get close to infringing on free will, we find it acceptable to talk about it because Carla's determination to be of service, regardless of personal circumstances, is great. Then they say, any physical aid upon the part of the instrument in the packing and unpacking will activate those allergic reactions lying dormant, for the most part, at this time. This entity is allergic to those items which are unavoidable in transitions within your third density illusion, that is, dust, mildew, etc. The one known as Bob will be of aid in this regard. The scribe should take care also to imbibe a doubled quantity of liquids in order that any allergically caused toxins may be flushed from the body complex. So, to honor that, I'm going to drink a little bit of water because I feel already thirsty from all this talking about water. This is the point in which, if I was popular, famous, or just enough to attract a sponsor, I would be telling you that I would be drinking some other, you know, replenishment, potassium and sodium, which, hey, if you have something to promote and you feel that I can promote, I would definitely promote one of those, potassium and sodium drinks or powders that you add to your water, and you kind of consume a little bit more of that because we don't have a magnesium. We need magnesium. We don't have magnesium in our diets. So I'm not promoting any brand, but I'm promoting magnesium and potassium to get more of those electrolytes and minerals. In any case, first, Carla shouldn't help much or at all in packing and unpacking. So she gets a pass for that, but she would also probably feel frustrated that she couldn't help. But then again, you know, we want to avoid her being responsive to this allergic reaction. Then the entity being allergic to those items, you don't want her to get involved. Bob can help again. Bob was a healer. I remember reading Carla saying that he retired of this in the 90s, I think. So he wasn't available anymore. But yeah, he helped them somehow. And then Jim should drink at least double the amount of water. Sorry, Ra, but I need to make a distinction there. I suggest water, not just liquids. Imagine that. You're trying to hydrate yourself by drinking sugar. Sugar or carbohydrates, even if it's one of those sports drinks, like I said, they absorb 3 grams of water per gram of glucose or carbohydrate in general. So you're not hydrating yourself fully. You are, what you're introducing in the body in the form of liquid is absorbing also some water. And it allows, and it needs to be processed, it needs to be transported, stored, or used, and all of this required some, you know, some energy, and just drink water, please, just drink water. See, I'm promoting water now. How basic is that? All right, last part, I think. Yes, of this answer, Ron says, there is no difficulty in resuming contact through these tuned instruments with the social memory complex Ra in the chosen dwelling, or indeed in any place whatsoever, once physical and metaphysical cleansing has been accomplished. So they have said this several times. None of the only condition that is needed for contact with them, Don, Carla, and Jim, of course, was to be in harmony with each other and with the place that they were in. So that was it. And I think even in the house that was sort of not acceptable to Don for some, you know, for his own reasons, even that house was acceptable, you know, after some cleansing and, of course, you know, just making it yours. You feel good in the house, then let the fun begin. And, you know, that's it. There's no other requirements. And it turns out, funny enough, that the house that they moved into, I'll probably mention this in the next session, but the house that they moved into where they did the last session was a disaster. Pipes broke during the winter because it was very cold winter in 1983, apparently, in Georgia. What else they had? They had allergic reactions because of the carpet. It was, you know, had this mildew or, it was filthy or dirty from the humidity. It was a mess. They had so many issues. Don had to drive longer than he would fly, I think, before from Kentucky. It was a mess. Like, the whole move was a mess. And that's why they ended up moving back again to Kentucky. But yes, you know, that's all that matters, that you can be fine, you know, with the environment in which you're living. And that was pretty much the important part. I think that's the reason why they only did one session in that house. Anyhow, let's cover the last question we have for today and call it a day. Don says in question 12, I have come to the conclusion that the meaning of the hawk that we had about a year ago when we started to move the first time had to do with the non-benign nature of, or in the metaphysical sense, of the house which I had picked for the move. If it isn't a problem with the law of confusion, I think that it would be philosophically interesting to know if I am correct with respect to that. So here Don is exhibiting, you know, that worry, that sort of, I don't know, just had a bone to pick with this apparition of the metaphysical, not the metaphysical, the hawk that appeared in, what was the metaphysical sense? And that it was not benign, right? The non-benign nature. Ra says, what bird comes to affirm for Ra? What bird would be chosen to warn? We ask the questioner to ponder these queries. Again, this is just my own worldview, the way I see things. For me, it is not possible for some reason. Let me first talk about this in terms of what Don's question is, and then I'll give you some of my own personal experience. Again, Don is curious to see, maybe in his mind he's asking, am I right in, or was I right in denying, you know, moving to that place? Am I okay? You know, did I get it right by thinking that the hawk was a sign that we shouldn't move into that house? And Ra is saying, well, what bird will come for Ra, and what bird would be chosen to warn? Ponder these queries. They don't say yes or no, and they actually maybe puzzle Don further when they say, what kind of bird would we use to give you an affirmation or a validation? What kind of bird would be used for warning? I have an inability to see signs as something that is not benign. I think at the beginning of my journey in this metaphysical world, and you know how reality is talking to you, and the universe and manifestation and the mind being projected and so on, I had that question. I said, because for those of you who don't know, what precipitated my investigation into the nature of reality was a series of synchronicities. It wasn't a psychedelic trip. It wasn't a loss of a job, even though I had both things. Not quite the psychedelic trip. I had nothing. I had just an experience of laying down and waiting for something to happen, and nothing happened. So it wasn't for any of those flashy experiences that people talk about in their own experiences. I didn't have a flashy experience. To me, it was just a series of unquestionable synchronicities permeating through my reality during the first couple of weeks that broke down my skepticism and allowed me to say, okay, I am now fully interested in what this has to offer to me. What's happening in the world? What's happening in the universe? What's happening to me particularly? And so coming from that direction, I questioned, because all I saw was synchronicities that continue to inspire me and push me in that direction of continue doing what you're doing. And they continue to do to this day. It's just that you get so used to it. Just like when you walk into a place and you get a strong aroma, right? And you say, oh, wow, it smells amazing, you know? That initial impact, that's what I had with the synchronicities. But as time passes, the aroma doesn't go away. You just get used to it and you get engaged in some other activity. But when you pay attention to it, it's right there. And it continues to be present. So synchronicities are just a common thing that happens once you get into this path. My point is that at some stage, I would say the first couple of months, I started to have this question and say, could there be synchronicities that tell me about, that warn me against doing something? Could that happen? Or, you know, this is not good, don't do this. And pointing out at the some tragedy or something that may befall. And I found out very early, I'm grateful for that, that no, there's no such thing as a synchronicity that will push you to do something that is detrimental to you. All synchronicities, and I count this hawk as being a synchronicity. Why? Because it was out of the ordinary. Anything like that, any message that we deem, you know, for somebody else, that would not have been a synchronicity. That would have been like, oh, we saw a hawk, that's nice. I like this place, or I don't like this place. I don't like big birds in my house. whatever it is. But for people who are paying attention, we can use anything as a sign, right? And what is the sign if not inspiration? Inspiration to do what you want. Inspiration to follow whatever your heart is pushing you to do. That's what a synchronicity is. It's always positive. It's always pushing you or attracting you, seducing you into that direction. But it is true, however, that when you get pushed in the right direction and you have a doubt and you think of, I'm not sure if I should go this way, and your heart is pumping this way, right? You may get synchronicities, which I have gotten, where, I mean, it's almost like reality, like in a movie, you know? I don't know if you've watched movies. I'm thinking of Bruce Almighty, maybe. A movie like that where you know, the person keeps looking, like Jim Carrey keeps seeing synchronicities and, you know, signs that says, you know, do this, do that, you know, or here's God and whatnot. Something like that that is, it's, you know, it's pushing you in that direction. So that's what the closest thing I see of something telling you, don't do that, because this is so much better. You know, it's highlighting the better option with inspiration. That's how I see it. But again, this is just my subjective experience. It doesn't have to conform with everybody's. But I find that this worldview is so much better than to think that I have to be paying attention to the world because there are warning signs of what I shouldn't do because it will go wrong for me. No, reality is always pointing to things that are going more in line with what you do. You do a misstep in your path, not a problem. You can continue and you will find the right direction. Making mistakes, apparent mistakes as we call them, it's not an issue. If you didn't pay attention, guess what? Nothing tragic happens, ever. So that's my sort of reassurance to you guys who are listening. Don't ever pay attention to a sign that gives you a warning, because guess what? What is within that warning, that fear of not wanting to do something because of fear, because something may befall to me? Ah, don't you smell Orion aroma now here? Of course it is, because that is their symbol, fear. Acting out of fear or choosing out of fear. It makes no sense. Not to me, not to this philosophy, and definitely doesn't make sense with reality. It doesn't play out. Only you can create fear in your mind. Reality can only create inspiration for you. And if you pay attention to reality, you will continue to see synchronicities pushing you in the direction which your heart wants you to go. That's it. I'm done with this. Conclusions. I should have left all of this talk to conclusions. I'm just going to add that listening to your heart, we hear this a lot. Follow your heart. Do what your heart wants. How do you discern between what your heart wants and what your dubious mind wants? Because it feels right. It feels appropriate. It feels like the right thing to do in the moment. And even if you act out of reactivity or a doubt and you pick out a fear, which can happen, follow your heart there. Meaning, don't judge yourself as, oh my God, I didn't act from the heart. I acted from my cyclical and neurotic mind. No, keep looking at the situation with your heart. And there is no mistake but learning. And we need to create situations in which we are confronted with a learning experience. What do we learn? You know, do we learn not to be idiots? No. We learn to be ever more loving, kind, and appreciative of reality. And of ourselves, particularly. So those are the signs that are out there. And if you just, there, like I said, just what is adequate today is what is adequate today. It may not be adequate tomorrow or next year, but at this time it is. Follow that. That's your learning. There is no one thing, as we say, oh, that's adequate for everybody. It's not. It's your decision, how you feel, and what learning experience you have there for you. And allow reality to give you all the synchronicities it wants to, because it loves you. It's you. I have nothing else to say but to mention at this point, of course, if you're interested in following even more this path, if you haven't joined the Telegram group, we're a small group. We get together, we talk about the Law of One. We also do meditations on Fridays. Almost all Fridays, unless I'm traveling. But yes, Telegram, link in the description. You want to do this path with me? I'm not talking about the Law of One, but knowing yourself and going through this process of seeing the implications of the non-dual approach to reality, which is what we call living the Law of One, is the mystic's lifestyle. What is it to live, you know, from this understanding? How does my mind get liberated? All these questions that we have. If you're interested, check the description. Seek Instagram, where you can direct message to me, and we can get to talk about this. With that being said, we have another part to cover of session 105. It's going to be about the yellow ray body, so this physical body. Really interesting questions, actually. I didn't know this was in the material until I read it, and I'm fascinated with what it's going to be expressed here. So yay, we get more information about this philosophy or understanding through Ra. So personal material aside, that's what we have for the next part. And now I get to the point where I say, have a good day or good night, take care of yourself, and I'll see you in part 2 of session 105.